Okay, so we are jumping to Joshua 11. We will get back to Joshua 10 on our regular channel when Tina gets back. Let's open in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you know what you're doing, even if we don't, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in full control, Father God, Lord, and that your message is going to go forth, Lord. I pray that you empty me, Father God, and it wouldn't be me, Lord. You have a message for tonight specifically for some reason. And thank you that you use the donkeys of the world. In Jesus' name. Yes. Okay. So, I know you ladies discussed chapter 10 and reading over that, it's kind of, I'm like one of my pastors used to say, jumping into the story. It's really, it's like super exciting, all the little details of the wars and how Joshua is getting victory and how every single step of the way God's with him and how he's speaking to him and how he's telling him all the steps to take. This really bothers me. And the details in his steps. And let's get into, I'm going to say, let's read it. Let's read it really quick because it's not as long as 10. 10's kind of long. But let's read it since we studied chapter 10, but we're going to get into chapter 11 this week. And again, we're going to come back to 10. So let's go through it really quick. And it came to pass, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Ashphath, and to the kings who were from the north and the mountains in the plain south of Chinneroth, in the lowland of the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite in the mountains, and the Hivite below the Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore, in the multitude, with very many horses and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. But the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire." So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to greater Sidon, to the valley of Mizpah eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with the sword. And Hazor was formerly the king, the head of all the kingdoms. And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck them with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. But as far as the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burned none of them except Hazor, only which Joshua burned. And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock the children of Israel took as booty for themselves. But they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing. As the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone, all that the Lord had commanded Moses. 16. Thus Joshua took all this land, the mountain country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland and the Jordan plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands, the Mount Halak, and the ascent to Seir, even as far as Baal-Gad, in the valley of Lebanon, below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, except the Hivites and the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And at that time Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. None of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. All those names. That's like, yeah, ugh. I like in the Blue Letter Bible how you can click and they give the annunciation, and I sat there going over and over and over with them, but you can hear it how it's supposed to be pronounced. So that's what I like about that. Okay, so Joshua 11, and then so briefly, previously, it's they had defeated all the south. Joshua had defeated all the south, and word is getting around about Joshua. Their reputation, it has spread, and people are scared. And even though these kings are mighty, like this king that he's king, who is this king? Who is that king? The king of the north. We'll get to his name. He was the king and the head of all the north. So even though they had all the different kings and sects, he was the one that was the leader of all of them. He's the one at this point that he knew Joshua's coming this way, so he's coming after us. So he's the one who rallied the troops, rallied all the other kings, and said, hey, let's get together in this chapter. Let's get together because Joshua's coming this way. Let's go attack him. The people of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for a long time. And so at this point, people are just kind of, I mean, when the reputation is going and he's literally undefeated. And this is a difference between Joshua and his disobedience. And we saw what happened in his disobedience and how he didn't get victory. And the sin in the camp, we went through those chapters too. The little bit of sin in the camp and what happens with that little bit of sin in our camp. But after all these years of going back and forth and kind of how the Bible talks about an unstable man just being tossed to and fro. He didn't just stay the course. And this, we're getting into chapter 11, where Joshua is finally staying the course. He's being obedient. He is listening to the Lord. And the way he has his troops and the men underneath him, this is a really good example of, number one, good leadership. Joshua's the leader. He was mentored and taught by Moses. And so it took him a couple of, you know, bumps on the head and bumps in the road to get it right. But when he got it right, He went full force with it. And then his men under him, also being under good leadership, like a well-oiled machine. So here we're finally seeing the fruit of his obedience, because we've seen what happens, the fruit of his disobedience. So this, when the 40 years of wandering, they were miserable, they were defeated, they were complaining, they had, you know, they were just going through it. And here we're seeing the victory. So this is where we're coming into in 11. And like us, just, I mean, we are constantly, okay, I'm going to say me, where we are going through things. And even though God has shown us things, God gives us victory, but we're always, a new trial brings new doubt for me. A new trial brings new doubt because, oh, this is different. This one's, you know, this. But God's people were finally in the promised land, and now Joshua was being obedient. God was showing them how he would accomplish. So one of the things that we see in 11 is that God laid out specific instructions, and then he also was very gracious to give him, this is what I'm going to do. So you're going to go, and you're going to do this, and although you're going to see this big, huge army, and the Bible says that it was as the sand of the sea, the people that came against him. So that's a lot. And so, of course, like, okay, like we talked about before, like Joshua had to always be reminded, fear not. Because it, people, you know, naturally we doubt, we fear. God's always having to remind us, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Throughout the book of Joshua, we hear this in every single chapter. And at sometimes I was reading it thinking, oh my gosh, he has to remind him all the time. And this chapter, for some reason, I just kept thinking, God is so gracious that he's in every new battle reminding us, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. And then, because he loves us so much, in this chapter, he lets Joshua know the plan, and he lets him know how he's going to do it. And he doesn't always do that with us. He kind of, a lot of times, we have to walk in faith. And this chapter, he was very gracious with Joshua, and he told him how it's going to happen. In the morning, this is what's going to happen. And I thought that was kind of neat, because sometimes he does that for us. Sometimes he speaks to us, and we kind of like, was that you, Lord? You know, he'll show us ahead of time what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, or show us people and places and things. And those are those little nuggets that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. Not all the time, but sometimes. So as the reputation of the Lord got around, people became afraid and they started to team up against Joshua. So it wasn't just the one king and his vast army. He decided, you know, come on, all you guys, let's go. Isn't that how it works? When we're walking with the Lord, when we're doing what we have to do, and then it's not just one thing or like one person. It's like they all, it's really easy. Like I work with 50 women and there's a lot of gossip and there's a lot of, you know, cattiness. I really don't like working with so much women, but what I always see and what I always notice, it's real easy to jump on the bandwagon when everybody, say one person says one thing or does something, all of a sudden two girls don't like her. All of a sudden they say something and then all of a sudden five girls don't like her and they're turning their nose up. It's super easy to be in that group that keeps growing and growing and growing. And it's real easy to jump on that bandwagon, and it's harder to go sit or talk to or invite that one person that's just all by themselves. You know what I mean? And that's what the Lord is showing me here, that Joshua had an army and God was giving him a lot of favor, but still the people weren't comfortable just going like a fair fight. You know what I mean? The king had to go rally all the other people to stand with him. Come on, let's go all together. So it wasn't even fair, but it doesn't have to be fair when you got the Lord on your side. And that's what the Lord was showing me here. So Satan works that way. Satan creates a situation where we can, if we let ourselves in our flesh, feel defeated, feel alone. And a lot of times, you know, that's sometimes where we get. We're in situations, no matter what it is, whether it's family, work, whatever it is. A lot of times, because it's so big and because the enemy likes to gang up and it comes in big balls of situations, and we feel defeated, and then we start questioning, and then we start doubting the Lord. And a lot of times it's not easy to stand in truth and the light and what's right. It's not easy to be the one to say no and take a stand, especially when it seems like it's bigger than us. And the Bible says in James 4:17, therefore, for him to know to do good and not do it, to him it is sin. And these scriptures that the Lord was giving me, because as I was reading this and as the God was giving me that kind of how the picture of how the whole northern hemisphere of this area ganged up against him. And no wonder God had to tell Joshua, don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. You know, because even though, and this is how we are, and Joshua was just a man, just like us, even though he had just defeated all the southern part, he was still going on another battle again. And they all ganged up against him. So even though he just came off this victory, here he had not just this king, but they went from over the mountains and the valleys, over the east, the west. He gathered everybody. So that's why I was, when I was looking at this, it was like, again, he was gracious to remind Joshua, okay, even though those people are as the sand in the sea, there's so many of them, you can't even count them. I'm here. I'm with you. And I'm going to have you take them. And he gave him specific instructions. And again, Joshua, we see Joshua learned his lesson. He gave him very specific instructions. You're going to take the horses. You're going to, what did he say? Yep, string them up. And you're going to burn their chariots. And Joshua did what he was supposed to do. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We're not called to cower in the corner while others are bold in faith. We are called to be bold and stand. That's where our blessings are. So this is where Joshua, again, had to put his faith to the test. Trust what the Lord was saying is true. Do what he said, even though he probably looked out and saw all the armies and didn't know how it was going to happen. Again, God reminding Joshua, fear not. Because it doesn't matter how many times we're going through battles, trials, struggles. We look at the physical realm and we look at what we can see with our finite eyes. And then that's why the Lord's having to remind us to fear not. So the word had spread. Joshua's reputation went before him. The king gathered all the people, all the northern people, and they came out in force against him. And in verse 5, it talks about how he combined all the armies to attack him. They came. They were more than the sand of the sea that he couldn't even count. And God was with them. And again, because of his obedience, because of the specific instructions that God gave him, he went forth and he had victory. There's no way that this can be turned around. This is what we feel in our head sometimes when we come against a battle, like the stuff that the enemy tells us. There's no way, you know, we go through different, like I said, we go through things and then we forget. And then the new battle comes. But this is my son. But, you know, I'm not going to have a job. How am I going to pay this? Or how am I going to do that? There's no way this one can be turned around. There's no way that person can be saved. There's no way that I'm going to get victory over this one. Even though we do those things in our minds and we battle, He is always with us, and he will have his way. And in Joshua 11, it talks about the Lord. Even though I like when people talk about how God is a loving God. We know he's a loving God. But he's also a God of judgment. He's also a God who handles his business. And I like these kind of reminders because God, in the end, will have victory. And I was thinking when I was reading this and doing study, it's not just, oh, he's got victory. He completely annihilated. And some people might think, oh, it's a little harsh. And I was kind of thinking that about the study, like, especially people who don't believe in the Bible, and they can pick apart the word and they could say, oh, you know, women and children too. But it says that he didn't leave anybody breathing. There was nobody left, nothing. Didn't say anybody, nothing left breathing. So let's get to verse, I think it was verse, I think six. I think my notes are out of order. Hold on. Yep, they were out of order. Verse 6. The Lord commands Joshua again, do not fear. Why? Because I will do this. And then sometimes we need to know what God is doing. But God is, sometimes we don't need to know what God is doing, but God was gracious, like I said, to Joshua. He gave him the insight. And verse 7, Joshua and his people came against them suddenly. So one of the other things that Joshua did and he learned is that he didn't hesitate. He didn't ask. And he didn't stop to pray. And I don't say that in a condescending way. It's just sometimes when God has already spoke to us, when he's already told us what to do, it's not a time to stop and pray. And sometimes we use that, you know, as like we're hesitant to do something. So we say, I'm going to pray about it. And I think it was very important in verse 7, where it says that he came upon him suddenly. He came upon them suddenly. He came upon them and he did exactly what he was supposed to do immediately. He didn't wait. He didn't tarry. He just went ahead and took care of it. And he had the victory because of that. And that was part of the obedience. He went with the confidence in the battle. Okay. So, and how many times do we experience this kind of defeat in our own life where we are stifled by fear? We have a situation that we're not sure about. And we know God's with us. We're praying, you know, we have people praying for us, but we're still kind of stuck in our fear and not knowing what's going to happen or how to react or how to take care of it. And all we have to do is give it to the Lord. And Joshua didn't just have victory. He had total and complete victory. In verse 9, Joshua did exactly what the Lord had commanded. He did he hamstrung the horses. And he burned the chariots. And verse 11, then he backtracked and went back after he did. And that's why I was like in the story thinking, okay, he went forth, he went fast, defeated that portion, and then had time to literally backtrack and go back and then defeat the king that rallied all the troops in the first place. Which was kind of a trip to me because when you're in a battle, you got to be strategic. And usually when you're going forward in forward motion in a war or a battle, that's the operative motion to be in to have victory is to continue going forward. Because if you're backtracking, you're kind of losing ground. But because he had so much favor with the Lord, it was like he had time. Let me go do this real quick and then come back this way. So to me, that was a trip. If you know anything about like the war strategies, I guess you would say, is that he went forward, then he went backwards, backtracked, took care of this back here, and then came back this way. So to me, that was significant because it showed the favor of the Lord that Joshua had on him. It showed that he, because of his obedience and because of his favor with the Lord, he was going forward in the battle, taking care of what we had to take care of, and he had time to go back over here. That was the favor he had with the Lord. Again, in verse 6, commanding him, don't be afraid. He took them instantly, and he got the victory for being obedient. In Joshua 9, he did exactly what he was told. Joshua 11, he went back. And a lot of the scripture I want to go over, because the scripture, the other scripture that the Lord gave me in this, it talks about how the Lord defeated this army. And because it was such a great defeat, to me, this speaks very heavily about His strength in battle and what he is going to do in the future. So we need to remember that we have to give our battles to him. And in the end, it all ties together. The battles that we're going through here and now, and then the battle in the end where the Lord's going to come and every knee is going to bow to him. It for us, we're working out our own salvation in him in fear and trembling. And these are our little personal battles that he's with us and he's conquering as we go every step of the way. And then it speaks of also simultaneously the battle in the end where Satan, the demons, and all his works are going to be defeated. And they're not just going to be defeated in a little, oh yeah, we got the victory. In this chapter, he got the victory in a mighty way. He didn't just win the battle. He annihilated. He slaughtered. There was no living thing left breathing. And so for me, that was huge because it was kind of, it just shows his majesty and his, what is it? I'm looking for a word and I can't get it. His sovereignty, the power that he has. You know, when you hear people say, oh yeah, if I'm going to hell, I'm going to have a party in hell. And you see, you hear that ignorance from people. And you hear the making light of the end times and the question of whether or not they're going to stand on the Lord's side or not, or whether they offend God's people or not, you know. And what God's showing here is that my people are protected. My people are in this army. And it doesn't matter who comes against my people, because this is how I take care of my people. And it's not a little thing. And this little thought of that, it's not a little thing, God's battles and how he wins for us, because we have very small things in our life that are like, people look at us like, really, you're worried and stressed about that? Like, that's not a big deal. And then we have big things, you know, we have the literal life or death situations and people we love and care about. And then we have things like of salvation, of eternal value. And we have to remember we are on the right team. And sometimes as Christians, and for myself, being walking with the Lord, I don't know how long, but we can get complacent in that thought. Reading this chapter just really brought this, all the details of this battle and the war and how God was very specific again, but how he gave him that little nugget of that insight of how it's going to happen. And just seeing Joshua finally come to a place of obedience and the people underneath him, that they were just flowing. And God didn't just give him another victory. He gave them a victory over a giant. And so it was so powerful to see. And then going into these other scriptures, reminding us, Deuteronomy 32:35, don't you realize that I have my shelves well stocked, locked behind iron doors? I'm in charge of vengeance and payback, just waiting for them to slip up. And the day of their doom is around the corner, sudden, swift, and sure. That's scary. Another translation. Vengeance is mine, and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly. And then recompense is repay, make amends for loss or harm or suffer. It's not our job to worry about anything that in our flesh we might feel like we need to repay. You know, that's not our job at all whatsoever. Isaiah 26:21. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. These scriptures to me go hand in hand with Joshua, the book of Joshua, and the wars that he conquered all these people. And it wasn't, and again, here we are in this place where it's not just, oh, he won the battle. It is a total annihilation. God is not mocked. The scripture said God is not mocked. Isaiah 13:11. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase and haughtiness of the ruthless. Again, it's a reminder that as we walk in obedience, we are covered by the blood. And if we don't, and the people who don't are not. And the Bible says, either you're for me or against me. There is no in between. He will spit you out if you want to be lukewarm. If you want to sit on the fence, swing your feet. I mean, I've done that. And reading these scriptures, reading this chapter, it was like a very, very, very sharp reminder. Psalms 37:38. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The prosperity of the wicked will be cut off. So, God's judgment on his people that he has called continually to repent. Jeremiah 21:14. But I will punish you according to the results of your deeds, declares the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in its forest that it may devour all its environs. According to the deeds, in Isaiah 59:18, according to the deeds he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the coastlands he will make them recompense. So in verse 15, says that Joshua left nothing undone that was commanded through Moses, his mentor. He did everything that he was told to do. He was obedient. One of my favorite scriptures, I don't know if I wrote it down. It's one of my life scriptures because I have to constantly be reminded about obedience. Like Pastor Darrell talked about, I think it was on Sunday. I'm not sure if it was Sunday or Wednesday. Was it obedience or disobedience? By omission and by omission, right? Or is that the word? Okay. Commission. I'm saying the word wrong. Commission. Yes. Okay. Commission. Doing what we're supposed to do. And then omission, not doing what we're supposed to do. Both is sin. And Joshua got to the point where he was doing what he was supposed to do, not leaving anything undone. He was told to do it a certain way, and he did it. There's doing it, and then there's doing it the way you were told. Because I know I could tell my kids, to clean the kitchen. But if they don't do it the way I want them to do it, it's not clean right. So we have to go over it again. I learned to make, somebody had told me once, literally in counseling or something, because it was fresh and I have like OCPD and control issues and all that. God's working on me. But I'm like, I told him to clean it. It's not clean. Well, to them it's clean. How could that be clean? And my mind doesn't work that way. That's not clean. Okay, well, maybe you get to show them how you want it clean to, okay, so in every room in a cabinet, I made a list of how I thought it was clean. And then they start doing it that way. Well, here, Joshua had specific instructions, and he left nothing undone that he was commanded by his mentor, his leader, Moses, which was his act of obedience. And then 18 through 20 talks about how he battled a long time with these people. He was at war with them for a long time. Nobody was at peace with the Israelites, only the people of Gilead. And God hardened their hearts so that they could be destroyed. And again, anytime I read where God hardened their heart, I always like, why would he harden their hearts? But again, we don't know. God knows the evilness of man's heart. He knows their deeds. He searches our heart. He knows it. So God was in control. God had his way. God had the full victory. He used Joshua, and Joshua finally got it and led him and his people to victory. And that's chapter 11 in a nutshell. Thank you. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the nuggets that you give us in your word, Father God. We lift up our sister Kim to you once again, Lord, and we ask that you heal her, Lord, and that you bless her in her time, Father God, and you bring her home, Father God, in Jesus' name.